Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. It's an honor to be with you today. Let's get started because it's time. So hello, everyone. Welcome to everyone. We know your time is really precious, and we know how challenging parenting can be. So thank you again for taking the time out of your busy day to join us today, either live or through the recording. And we would like to support your work in parenting. And we hope to give you some ideas that you can use at home with your family today, like right now. There are over 200 parents registered for today's call. And so it will take a minute for everyone to join us here. So I'm going to talk for just a few minutes about Hand in Hand while everybody is joining in. After that, we will begin our teleseminar on the topic of back to school, new beginnings, and big feelings. My name is Marilupe de la Calle, and I'm here with my co-presenter and dear friend Heidi Russell. So for those of you who don't know about Hand in Hand, Hand in Hand is a non-for-profit organization that was founded about 30 years ago by an amazing woman called Tayo Biffler in California, who has wonderful insight into the emotional needs of children. And she knows this based on many years of real-life experience with thousands of families all over the world. And as an organization, we work to bring parents good information, good tools, and lots of support for the vital work of parenting. We know that the work of nurturing children cannot be easily done in isolation, and we're here to support you. Also, it's important to say that as a non-for-profit organization, we rely on donations to make many of our free resources for parents possible, including free teleseminars like this one, but we also have free articles on the website, free online discussion groups, free access to a wonderful blog with many parents' success stories based on the approach that's called Parenting by Connection. Hand in Hand also offers podcasts, classes, support groups, both in person and online, intensive trainings for parents and professionals, and consultations for one-on-one support. And we'll definitely be talking about that at the end, how to get that support and how to contact us. But you can find all these resources through the Hand in Hand website, which is www.handinhandparenting.org. And it's also important to mention that scholarships are available for all of our classes. And I would love to share the four main ideas behind the Hand in Hand approach and hope that they resonate with you. Number one is that we parents need and deserve support for the emotional challenge of parenting. It's, as you probably know by now, being a mom, being a dad can be really challenging emotionally, and we need and deserve support from that. We can build that support, and then when we do, we can have much more success meeting both our own needs and our children's needs. Number two is that our children are born to feel connected with us, and that this sense of connection is what they need in order to learn, to build friendships, to build resilience and confidence as they grow, to thrive, in other words. When children don't feel connected, that's number three, their behavior goes off track and they signal for us to help. And number four is that we can help. And when we foster laughter and play without tickling, when we set limits without harshness, and when we support children to have good, hearty cries and tantrums, it helps our children feel more fully connected to us and helps them leave difficult behaviors behind. So Hand in Hand, what we do is we help parents strengthen and rebuild that parent-child connection so that we can feel successful as we love our children, and so that our children can thrive on that love that we have for them. So now that we shared a little bit about Hand in Hand, we would like to introduce ourselves and tell you what brought us here, and then start with today's content. At the end, we will allow time for Q&A, because we'd love to hear your questions. And also, we're going to share how to contact us, as well as exciting local events for those of you who are around us. And we're going to share also a code for an amazing discount, so please make sure to grab a pen and paper and to stay with us all the way through the hour. So as I said before, my name is Marilupe de la Calle. I'm honored to be here today. I am a mom. I'm a Mexican mom of two daughters. They're 8 and 5, and I live here in the United States on the East Coast. And I used to say before becoming a mom that I was going to be, of course, the best mom. I grew up around lots of kids, so I was sure this was going to be so easy. And, well, that hasn't been entirely the case. I remember thinking and wishing that I wanted my children to know, like I would say, in every cell, in every neuron, that I was truly there for them, because that's what I really wanted when I was little. And then my incredibly passionate girl was born, and I quickly found myself really overwhelmed by the intensity of her emotions. And I was clueless. I was desperate for answers. I was reacting in anger. I was just in disbelief. And then I found Hand in Hand when she was a toddler, and I started applying the tools at home. And I saw a spark in my daughter's eye that I had never seen before. I found my girl. And fast forward 4 years, and my family dynamics are completely different. I'm no longer hopeless, and we've conquered fears. We've healed all wounds. We've deepened our connection immensely. And now I can say that I am truly there, truly present for my girls like I had always dreamed. And, of course, after seeing what Hand in Hand did for my family, I decided to share this gem, as I call it, gem of parenting by connection with others, and became a certified instructor. That's why I'm delighted to be here today. And I would love to hear about you, Heidi. Would you like to share with our beautiful audience about you?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Marilupe. Mm-hmm. So I'm Heidi. I live in Petaluma, California, with my husband and my 6-year-old son. I came to find Hand in Hand parenting because parenting turned out to be way harder than I thought it would be, and I knew I needed way more support than I had. And I started practicing the hand-in-hand tools when my son was about 18 months old, and it was really a life-changing discovery. I had really had a hard time in the first year of parenting, and I went and read every book, and I looked at all the websites, and I kept coming back to the hand-in-hand articles over and over because it really felt like it resonated with the way that I wanted to parent. And so once I really learned the tools, I became really passionate about learning how to be a stronger leader in my family without being harsh or using punishment. And once I learned how effective the approach is, I wanted to bring the information to others. So I joined the certification program, and here I am today.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So let's start out by talking a bit about why school can be hard for our kids and for ourselves. Back to school can be a really overwhelming time for the whole family. There are school supplies to buy and clothing to purchase and new haircuts and lunches to make and all this stuff, this time-consuming stuff. And we've gone straight from a busy summer straight into the school year, and it's easy to overlook the emotional side of this big transition. And no matter how eager your child is or how wonderful your child's school is, there will be one thing missing at school, and that's your loving presence. Our children are hardwired to be close to us and to need connection to us. So going to school can feel like a big separation, especially for younger children. And any kids with separation anxiety or difficulty with transitions can have a really hard time getting out the door in the morning. It can be difficult to learn and follow all the rules of the classroom. Having to sit still for long periods of time can be very difficult for active children. Getting to know a whole room full of new kids can be daunting. When my son started kindergarten last year, that was his biggest problem. He said, there's just so many kids in it. It's just so hard to know how they all are. Like, that was his big hang up, was learning how to be friends with like 22 new children. The days can feel very long. Your child may have a wonderful teacher, but with about 30 other kids to tend to, he or she isn't likely to be able to offer the emotional connection that is so important to them. And what about us parents? Are we emotionally prepared for this big separation? Even for parents who are really looking forward to school starting, and you know who you are, it's been a long summer, nothing quite prepares you for the emotions that you feel right after that first drop-off. When my son started kindergarten last year, I thought I was totally prepared. I had done my emotional homework, so I thought, until all the children were inside the classroom and the door shut and I completely broke down crying. And luckily, I had a dad friend there who gave me a hug and who understood my feelings. And I think I did set off a chain reaction of a lot of parents crying that morning. Mm-hmm. But so look, parenting is a big job and it's also a very emotional one. And we recommend that all parents have a trusted listener that they can go to when times are challenging. And you can learn more about listening partnerships on our website if you want to go look at that, but we don't have a lot of time to talk about that today. But Marilupe, do you want to tell us a little bit more why our feelings can take over, so to speak, even if you feel like you've got it in control?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. This behavior, all these things we're going to see make total sense. But to try to understand where all these emotions are coming from, I would like to go back to our origins as human beings and explore a little bit of why and how do big feelings show up. So let me go back a little while and think about when we were born. We are social creatures, after all, and as such, we depend on each other. Of course, we all know that. But we especially need each other when we are little. We need for our caregivers to meet our every need, and to want us and to love us to ensure our survival. We know deep inside that if we don't have mom and dad around us, we can die. So our brain, also when we're born, isn't fully developed yet. And when we're infants, I mean, some parts are, some parts are not. And when we're infants, connection with those who love us is what makes it grow. Every time you look at your baby, every time you are there, fully present, our children's brains are working, are growing. So we do need a strong connection with our caregivers as much as we need food and sleep. It makes total sense then that our brains have a whole region that is actually active and very accurate even before birth that we call the limbic system. And that limbic system is dedicated to help us detect, just like a radar would, the non-verbal signs, the beam of attentiveness, and the loving connection from those who take care of us. And if everything is well, that limbic system tells us, I'm safe, I can thrive now, I can grow and learn, I can relax, I can be myself. Then I can engage other portions of the brain. But that sense of connection and safety can break very, very easily for young children. And when it does, it's like a big internal alarm goes off. Emotions and fear can flood their brains in that moment and temporarily shut down their capacity to reason and to cooperate. I don't know if you have ever tried to reason with a toddler who's losing it, and there's just no use. Like you're trying to reason with somebody who's not being able to reason at that moment. It can't happen. They cannot think in that moment. They're flooded by emotions. Just this morning, I was talking to one of my daughters about this, and we came up with this analogy about a pool. Like when you jump into a pool, you cannot do any fancy tricks until you feel safe in the water first. So if you're in panic and you're trying to survive, there's no way you can engage in any fancy, I don't know, mermaid twirls or whatever. You need to survive first. So when we're in that alarm mode, we need to signal that we're not feeling well and that we need help. So that's when the big cries and the big tantrums and the resistance and the defiance and all that difficult, irrational behavior comes from. That's when we get trouble sleeping and the aggression, among other off-track behaviors. They make sense. And that's actually why the minute you're on the phone, I'm sure you've seen this in your house, you are on the phone, your kids are playing fine, you grab the phone, and then hell breaks loose immediately. And that's why separating from mom and dad or going through a school day, as Heidi was describing earlier, can bring big feelings. All these behaviors make perfect sense. They are signals for help. And if they could articulate with words, they would be saying, mom, dad, teacher, I don't feel you. I don't know if I'm safe. So the hand-in-hand approach, thankfully, is entirely based on connection. We bring connection to actually solve that problem from the roots. All the tools that hand-in-hand teaches respond to our core needs to be seen, to be heard and loved, and they all work together in synchronicity to foster a profound emotional connection between children and their caregivers. When we feel connected, we're okay. We can function beautifully. So what's the secret of all these tools? Well, these tools rely on a deep understanding of all the elegant ways in which our bodies store, process, and release emotions. Just as we have a digestive system that takes all the nourishment from food and lets go of what we don't need, well, laughing, crying, trembling, struggling, even throwing tantrums, those are mechanisms that help us release the emotions that don't sit well with us. These are healthy expressions, and they do the job of expelling all those unpalatable feelings, and they expel them for good and for real. So after those big emotional episodes, our brains actually regulate, and then we can regain that sense of safety in the world. And then we train again. We're liberated, we're free to learn, we're able to explore a little more. I don't know if you have had a really good cry with a friend and you feel so much better afterwards. However, what happens when feelings are repressed or dismissed, as society has told us for centuries that they should be? Well, they don't go away. They stay in our unconscious memories, and then they pop up unannounced to interfere with multiple aspects of our lives. So our role as parents and caregivers is then to provide emotional safety by fostering connection and by supporting all these fundamental emotional release mechanisms. But how can we do this? Like, how does it look like as our kids go back to school? So Heidi, would you like to expand a little bit on this?
Sure. Thank you. Let's talk about what we can do to help our kids get their emotional needs met and to talk about the tools we can use for this big transition to school. Maybe a good place to start is to talk about us having realistic expectations of how our kids are going to communicate their feelings with us about school. Most kids don't hop in the car right at pickup and tell you exactly how everything is going for them. At least mine doesn't. It's safe to say that your child is going to feel overwhelmed after a day at school and isn't going to know how to say it when you start asking her how her day was. At times, I just couldn't resist the urge to ask my son what happened at kindergarten because I was just too excited and how was kindergarten? What did you do? He would say, I don't remember. And maybe you've heard this one yourselves. Given what Marilupe was just saying about how our brains work, they probably really can't remember, even though they just walked out of the kindergarten. When our kids feel overwhelmed, their brains are on overload and they can't think. So instead of questions, we want to offer kids connection after school. Their connection to us is what will bring back their thinking, and they will be more likely to open up to us and share how things are going. Another way that kids can show you that things are hard at school and they're feeling disconnected is through what we call off-track behavior. You'll probably recognize some of these early signs that your child is going off track. They can't maintain relaxed eye contact with you. They don't want to be touched. There's inflexible and uncooperative behavior. They're not open to change your choice. They want things a specific way, and any variation is going to upset them. And you've probably tried to give them choices and had a discussion or used reasoning, but no, it won't work for very long because they can't think. They might not include other children in play or will only play with certain children. Their attention can get stuck on playthings and they won't want to connect with anyone. Or maybe they're listless, unfocused, or preoccupied with a repetitive activity like thumb sucking, holding on to a comfort item. These are all early signs that your child is having trouble digesting some emotional items. Young kids and kids under stress are not going to be able to articulate how they're feeling, but they will be able to give you signals with their behavior that things aren't going well. And they most likely won't be directly related to school. So even though your child is stressed about school, you might find inflexible behavior at dinner time. Or in the case of my son who just started first grade yesterday, all week we had been talking about school coming up, and he's like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm looking forward to it. He wasn't really, you know, wanting to talk about his feelings around it. But I noticed that bedtime was getting very difficult for him. He really didn't want me to leave. He wanted me to lay in bed with him. He needed me to be close to him much more than he had been previously. And so I added it up, and I'm like, okay, school's starting. Big feelings are starting to come up, and so it's manifesting around bedtime. It's not manifesting around school time. So what can we do? What are some tools that we can use? We have a very simple and very helpful tool called Special Time. And Special Time is a one-on-one listening tool, which is a wonderful way to create connection with your child. So you decide how long you've got, 5, 10, 30 minutes, and you tell your child that you will play with them for that long. And you ask them what they want to do. You say, okay, I've got 10 minutes. Let's do Special Time. What do you want to do? I'll play anything you want. And you set a timer. And for that amount of time, you put aside all your distractions. You don't answer your phone, no texting. You don't answer the door. You don't notice any mess around the house. And you warmly and enthusiastically do whatever your child wants for that period of time. And you're going to resist all temptations to make suggestions for what to do or how to play, and you're really going to follow their lead. And why does this work? Why is this tool so effective? It creates safety. So when you get down and you play with your child and you let them lead and you really pour your attention and love into them, you are creating trust. And you're showing your child that you're willing to meet them where they are. And play is how children express themselves so much more easily than with words. So things can come out during special time that you wouldn't normally see at other times or during conversation. We recommend during school transitions to try it after school, or if you do have trouble getting out of the house in the morning, try it first thing in the morning. I recommend doing it like for the whole week leading up every day and then keep going during the transition. When my son was 3 and he started preschool, he was not very happy there, and he was having a hard time getting out the door in the morning. So I decided to start doing special time for 10 minutes as soon as we woke up. So we were still in our pajamas. I hadn't started breakfast yet. And we would go down on the carpet and play with cars or whatever he wanted to do for 10 minutes. And it really, really shifted things. He was able to get out of the house so much quicker. It put him in a good mood right out of the gate. It put me in a good mood. I was more cheerful, more willing to say yes, and it made our morning really so much more simple. My son started kindergarten last year, and when he first started school, he was quite nervous going in. And when he came home that first day, because we have been using special time so consistently and he understands the connection of the tool, he came home that first day of kindergarten. He said, Mama, I'm going to need special time every day after school. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, honey. And so we started 10 minutes every day after school, and it really helped him move through that transition. Another idea is, it seems really obvious, but make time in your schedule to hear these big feelings. So if you have a lot of trouble in the morning getting out the door, set your alarm earlier. Get up. Make time for hearing those big feelings. Start your bedtime routine 20 minutes sooner. Really, you want to set yourself up for success. I know it's hard to carve that time out, but if you're not setting yourself up for success, you're going to kind of keep hitting up against the same things over and over. Marie-Lupe, can you tell us more about what to do when your children's big feelings come up and how to listen to them and the best way to do that?
Sure. Thank you for all those wonderful explanations about off-track behavior. I love that. And I love what Benji said about wanting special time every day. That's really sweet. So yeah, what can we do when those big feelings come up? So we have another tool that's super effective and quite simple, and it's called Stay Listening. And as the name suggests, it means staying with our children and listening to their feelings, their upset feelings, for as long as it takes. And it's simple, not necessarily easy, but quite simple to just stay and listen. And we do this when they're crying or when they're having a tantrum. And we do this by coming close and seeking eye contact, and we provide a gentle touch and allow those feelings to flow without saying much. We are, you can think of an anchor. We're anchoring them to their emotional storm with the sense that all is well. Remember that limbic system that's picking up all the nonverbal signals? They might not be able to think and reason, but they are definitely feeling your presence. So if we come with a sense that all is well, that this is normal, this is healthy, this will pass, and this is actually really good, they can pick up on those nonverbal signs and use our loving attention really well. Because when we're able to support them in this way, they feel free to release those feelings that were bothering them. And then they come to the other side released, like refreshed and with a new perspective. More resilient to face whatever they're facing that's hard, and more able to cooperate and listen. For all those of you asking, how do I get my kid to listen? Well, you listen first and then they will listen to you. So I use this tool, all the tools really, but I would love to share an anecdote of how I used this tool last week when my daughter was showing a lot of resistance to do some school-related summer work. And of course, like, who wouldn't, right? But I noticed that she was tense around it and she was trying to avoid tackling it, even when she had told me that she wanted to complete it. So days had passed and she found excuse after excuse not to write her. She needed to write a brief assignment and she was saying she couldn't do it. It was too hard, or she would even say like the pencil wasn't the right one. It's not sharpened. And she needed, or she told me, mommy, you write it for me. You tell me what to write. So I could really definitely sense that there were big feelings behind her behavior. So I held a gentle limit and said, sweetie, you will complete the assignment today. I think you can do it. I will be with you, but you will be doing it on yourself. And I think you can do this. And I offered connection. I said, I'll be right here with you. And I even offered, if you want to sit on my lap as you do it, you can do it. So she was, okay, fine. She sat on my lap. She started working. And immediately she found another excuse. And she started protesting and complaining more. And finally she just burst out crying. And so then I moved into stay listening. I listened to her and she went on and on. And I just stayed with her, saying little, but reassuring her that she could do it as she kept on crying. And after a few minutes she said, I don't want to go back to school. I don't want to face the mean girls. So sometimes when we're listening to our children, like the true root of their behavior can show up. So it wasn't about the pencil. It wasn't about the assignment. It was a deeper thing. Like doing school-related work reminded her that school was coming, and she was anxious about that. So this was just an excuse. So after she got all those feelings out, she cried. Like she cried and cried. She cried harder. I stayed with her. And when this storm passed, she was done. She just woke up and her muscle tone seemed more relaxed, and she really eagerly just got to work on her own. She completed the task really easily. And then at the end, she told me how proud she was for doing it by herself and that she was pleased with the way it had turned out. So this is just a happy ending to a stay listening story. And my little one, my other daughter, 2 years ago in her first month of school, she needed to cry and cry because she had she had at that time a major separation anxiety. And she would cling to my leg and look at me with panic in her eyes at drop-off. This was, of course, very, very hard for both. And I'm really glad that I knew what to do and how to help. So whenever I could, I supported her this way. I offered my attentive listening. Sometimes I would even arrive early to her school to allow plenty of time for her feelings to pour out before leaving. And then one day, she was really ready. She told me, mommy, I know school is safe. Like, I know this in my, she just knew it. And then she ran to the playground where they start school, and she didn't even look back. So she wasn't stuffing the feelings or managing feelings. She had let them go. Mm. But, so stay listening can be a really powerful tool. And it's not the only tool that we have, of course. Heidi was mentioning play, and I wanted to just very briefly mention that, of course, listening to our children crying is not the only way in which we can support them. And a really great tool to support them with school-related issues, or any issues, actually, is to offer connection through play, because playfulness actually sends a big altruistic signal. Remember, we were saying that one of our roles is to provide safety. Well, if we're playing, if we're the leaders of the family and we're playing, that must mean that everything is safe. Like, otherwise we wouldn't be playing. So it's a big, big safety signal for our children. They can see, oh, all is well because mommy's playing, daddy's playing. And as Heidi was pointing out beautifully, they live and play, and that's how they communicate. So play is a great way to get them out of the door. I've found play extremely helpful when I'm trying to get everyone out the door, but also in good spirits. I've tried, like, let's see who can race mommy to the car a million times, but, like, successfully. Or as Heidi was saying, a few minutes of special time as soon as they wake up can make wonders. Like, I've done that, and it works beautifully. And I also use play to help them with bullying issues, with homework, as I was just telling you, about with anxiety about new beginnings. And even when I wanted them to put on the winter coats and gloves here in the East Coast when it's cold, like, play can be a wonderful tool. So I would like to pass it on to Heidi to see what she wants to say next.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marilupe, for your success stories. Thank you.
Yeah.
So the main message that we want to share today is that your children are good, that it's normal for them to have big feelings around school, and that you can help them tackle these school-related difficulties. So just to reiterate, we recommend daily special time leading up to school and during the adjustment period, and you can pick whatever time seems to work best for your family. Try to give yourself extra time in the morning and at bedtime, or wherever your child seems to need that extra time to move through big feelings. It might be lunch. It might be bath time. Like, whatever that trigger is that really stirs your child, just allow yourself extra time around those times. And then when big feelings arise and tears and tantrums, use the stay listening tool that Marilupe described. And with these tools, you can support them as they process and offload these big feelings so they can move on and thrive and hopefully enjoy school. Mm-hmm. So that is the end of the presentation part of our call. So now we have time for some questions. If you have a question, you'll want to press *2, and that will raise your hand, and it'll put you in a queue, and we can try to get to as many questions as we can. Let me head over to the control panel here.
Yeah. So I'm going to unmute. There's someone in Virginia. I'm unmuted. I just unmuted you.
Yes, hi there. This is Jenna Watts.
Hi.
Hi there. I have an almost six-year-old daughter. She's going to be starting a full-day kindergarten in elementary school, so a new a whole mm-hmm. new school, you know, longer school day, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two concerns that she has, but the main one that I'm just trying to figure out the best way to handle is a real fear that's being developed about the fire drills, the loudness of the fire drills. And she had them in her previous half-day kindergarten, and it kind of created a lot of issues, and there was a time that she didn't want to go to school, and we had to work a lot around that, and that seemed to resolve itself. But now at the beginning of the school year again, you know, I understand that they do a lot of fire drills in public school, and you know, especially at the beginning, and I'm just, you know, I want to figure out a way to support her so, you know, it doesn't just cloud and ruin her whole, you know, first few months of school. So any, you know, thoughts or suggestions that, you know, could be, you know, on that sort of topic. Thank you.
Wonderful. Do you want to answer first, Heidi?
Marilupe, did you, I feel like your daughter might have had a similar thing. Is that true?
Yeah, yes. So my little one was terrified of fire drills. And the first fire drill she experienced, she thought there was an actual fire, and she thought I was in the fire.
Oh,
so she came home, and she was in panic. I didn't know they had had a a fire drill that day, so I had to stay listened. So I stay listened a lot, and then she told me, I thought you were in, like, in danger. So then part of the answer for us was stay listening. Part of the answer was explaining what's happening. So I'm sure you've probably done that, like explain why this matters. But also, I think all the explanation we can do cannot really satisfy them until they feel safe. So a really good way to help them feel safe is to engage in play. We could do this through special time, but because in special time they tell you what to do, there's another way to play that we call play listening, in which you take the less powerful role, and in this particular case, you could pretend to be the really scared one about loud noises, and she can be the one making all that loud noise, and you can be like playfully goofing around, being like, oh my God, please don't make that sound. Like, sort of like taking the problem on you. And you are the one who's scared. You are the one who can bear. I sometimes mockingly say, like, I'm scared of everything that's blue. And then they start chasing me. Because I say this with a playful tone, they start chasing me with blue things. So I just make myself the one who's scared. And if they laugh, that laughter is a healing laughter that is actually dissolving fear. So I would try all the tools. I would try offering her special time. I would try stay listening when it's hard and just acknowledging, that can be really scary, and without trying to distract her from the real issue. But also I would love to suggest that for you to engage with her in play. And like, you are the scary one. That helps really well, like when they're coming from the dentist, and then they can brush your teeth, and they can give you the shots. Like, when you are the victim and the little one and the incompetent one, that, and when that brings laughter, that laughter is healing. So that's what I would suggest.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Let us know how it goes.
Thank you. Thanks, Jenna. Email us and let us know what happened.
I will. Thank you.
So I'm going to, let me see. So I've muted you. And then there's somebody else in California with a question. Hi. Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Great. What's your question?
Hello?
Hi there. Can you hear us?
I don't know.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hi there.
Can you hear us?
Oh, hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, great. My name is Rebecca Hauser. I have a 2-year-old. He's going to be 2 years and 2 months in September, and he's going to start for his first time in preschool twice a week for half days. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask questions, like, do you have any recommendations how to ease the process for him? How to make him get more adapted to the change. He's been at home with me for, since he was born. And he's very attached to me, so I'm like scared that maybe it's going to be hard for him in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any recommendations how to make the process easier for him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should stay there with him for the first couple of days or,
Yeah, so he hasn't started yet, right?
No, he's going to start in September in a month.
Okay, great. Well, good. That's great because you have time to work on feelings before you even get there, which can be really helpful. I would recommend that you start doing regular special time, like we mentioned before, and just really getting down and playing on his level. You might already be doing this, but definitely have the timer. The timer helps define, like, the amount of time that we're going to do it. And it also, when the timer goes off, it gives your child a safe place to experience the disconnection of, okay, special time's over now. It can be, sometimes when that timer goes off, it can be good practice for them to work on that separation. And all you're saying is, okay, honey, special time's over. And sometimes really big feelings can come up around that. And so you'll want to give yourself a little extra time when you're working on special time with him. Maybe pad it by, if you've got 20 minutes, give him 10 minutes of special time so that if he does bump up against that timer, he'll have you'll have extra 10 minutes to listen to his big feelings. And as you're doing more and more special time, he will feel more and more safe to show you the big feelings that he might be anticipating. Does he know that he's going to school? Is he anticipating it at all?
I think he feels something because since I've been feeling it so strongly for the last month, he's having more attachment problems. He really wants me. We co-sleep, but usually he falls asleep by himself.
Yeah.
He's been wanting to sleep on top of me for till he falls asleep, something that has never happened. And I think that's the connection because he knows that there's going to be change.
Sure. Yep. Yes.
And we do special time together, but I don't do it with a timer, so maybe the timer is a very good idea.
The timer is really key. It's really key for us to know that, how much time we really have to give our 100% attention. And it really does create a limit for your child to bump up again while you're still there. And so you can hold their feelings. I found that when my son was 2 and 3 and I was doing a lot of special time, it really helped him with transitions because having that practice at home in a safe place of transitioning from my 100% attention to my divided attention was it was practice for transitions for him. And I noticed the more we did special time, the easier it was for him to transition from one thing to the next. And I really think because he used that time to understand, okay, here's a shift coming. She's not as present as she was 10 minutes ago, And so in these little ways with small children, we can really help them and then understand that, okay, and guess what? Tomorrow we're going to do special time again at 2 o'clock. And so they have something to look forward to. And then you follow through with that to further create the trust there.
Yes.
So definitely play listening, maybe around the times that you notice he's having a hard time, like bedtime, any play that you want to do around that, like, oh, it's bedtime, I don't want to go to bed, you can say, and you can be the one that doesn't want to go to bed, and he can take charge and push you into the bed and make you go to bed, just all the kinds of things, the role reversals like Mari Lupe was talking about, where he can be in a little bit more power, and you can be the one having the problem. And like Mari Lupe said, that laughter is really healing. And so you want to follow the laughter. Every time you're doing these play games with your children, follow the laughter. Whatever really gets them to laugh over and over and over, just stay there, stay with it. And that release that they get from laughing about what's hard for them, with you being the less powerful one, is so, so healing. And it can really move things through and make bedtime easier.
Mm-hmm. I would like to echo that. I would like to echo
Thank
that.
Thank you so much.
Also add that you can engage in this type of play with the separation theme. Like, you can say, please don't go, and let him be the one that's leaving you behind. And then you can suffer because, oh, no, please don't go away. I need to be with you in a playful tone. And you're trying to get to him, but he escapes. And then he's the one leaving you. And then he's the one separating from you.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's a good variation of this power reversal games that we're talking about. You can use it specifically as, please don't go. I need to be glued to you. Please don't go. And then they leave you behind and they laugh.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really helpful.
And I like your idea about
you like leaving me, not me leaving him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I liked what you said before about maybe the first, for the first few weeks of drop-off, allowing yourself some more time to maybe, play in the parking lot before you go in, and to practice that separation. And to be able to allow yourself to maybe listen to his cries for a little while, 5 minutes, and then try to detach, and then listen some more, try to detach, slowly pulling off the Band-Aid while being able to listen to his big feelings.
Yeah, I think they're going to allow me to stay there for the first week or two, so that way he can get more attached also to the teachers. And then little by little, I'll do the same thing. I'll have a teacher like debit my car, and I'll say, no, I don't want to go home. Maybe he'll go back with us. And I think that's really going to be helpful. Thank you so much for your time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really like Hannah's parenting, and I'm starting to read your book right now, and I really like it.
Wonderful. Thank
Excellent.
You. Thanks for saying that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to mute the phone. So we have a couple of more minutes, and we would love to hear if you have more questions. Is there anyone who's thinking that they might have a question that we haven't answered yet? So please press star 2, and we will be able to see that you're raising your hand, and we can unmute your line and listen to your questions. And if there are no more questions, we can tell you a few more ideas before we go. But I see there's a hand raised. Oh no, it went away. As you were speaking today, Heidi,
I see a hand up.
I see another one. Yeah. So this is Beth, I think, is the one who hasn't asked yet.
Yes.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, you can hear me. Good.
So
I have two boys, 4.5 and 7.5, starting school next week. And the biggest change right now is that after being a stay-at-home mom since my second son was born, I am returning to work full-time as a teacher. And so it's a really big transition for the whole family. And my little boy will now have to be in preschool 5 full days a week, as opposed to, last year he was there 3 mornings. And as if that wasn't enough, my husband travels for work, and so we have just hired a babysitter who will be helping out in the home in the morning and then bringing the boys to school and then picking them up in the afternoon. So there is so much newness. I know I am feeling a lot of anxiety about it, and I feel like my boys, they don't really know what is about to hit them. So we have been doing a lot of special time lately, and that that is wonderful. And so I know that, just from hearing you and from reading, I need to keep that up. And, I can do the stay listening to and, play listening. And if you have any other tips, I'm totally open to hearing them.
I've got one for you. So do you have a listening partner? Have you tried that yet?
I have not. I haven't tried it. It's definitely been something I've wanted to do. And I just found another mom who, although she is not in hand, she she is open. She's receptive to it. And so I think we're going to give it a try.
Great. I think, first and foremost, when we feel a lot of anxiety, and obviously you do, I mean, your family is going through a big transition. To have a trusted listener where you can go and work on your feelings of frustration and overwhelm and any feelings of guilt that you might have around this big change in your family. Because our kids really, we're very emotionally intertwined in our families. And so if we are feeling stressed and burdened about something, our kids are going to pick right up on that. So sometimes the best first thing to do is to go get really good listening time for yourself. And just to be able to loosen up your own fears around it, and that can in turn make it easier for you to play and to feel light about it, which helps them feel lighter about it. So it's kind of like this domino effect that sometimes can start with us. And so listening partnerships is such a magical tool. I use it regularly and often to the point where my husband will be like, do you need listening time around this? Like, oh, yeah, you're right. So, yes, absolutely. It sounds like you have a potential for a good listening partner with this new mom. If you want, I can email you, guidelines, tips on how to get that started. There is a booklet you can buy that really describes listening partnerships in detail. But if you just want to get started with someone who doesn't have the experience, we do have like a, there's an article on the website, and I think there's a handout that just, you know, a basic rundown of how to do it.
That would be great. Yeah, getting just the basic rundown so I could pass it along to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would also suggest this new babysitter that you're hiring. It would be wonderful if you tell her about how to do special time and how to listen to your children's feelings so that she's on your team and that she knows she's going to be the one picking them up and taking them to school. All these things we talked about, it would be ideal if she knows about them and if she knows that big emotions are likely going to come and how to handle them and how to best support them with this transition. So it would be a great idea if you explain to her what you're trying to do and show her how powerful special time can be, and she can try it with the boys, and then that's going to foster their connection, and things are going to flow a lot better if they have a strong connection. So you want her to be really, really connected to them, obviously, and to have them feel like they can trust her.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good tip. Well, yeah, thank you.
Great.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you. Okay.
I think we might have time for one more question.
Yeah.
So if you feel like you would like some support or just a quick hello.
We've got a hand up here in Virginia.
Uh-huh, but I think
hi there.
Hi.
Oh, did we already?
Hi. I do have a second question, but if someone hasn't gone yet, I'd be happy to defer.
Oh, you can ask your question.
Okay, thank you. The other sort of bigger changes I sort of briefly mentioned before was the longer school day, around 3 hours longer than she's used to. And at times over the last year, she stayed a little longer for lunch, and, you know, we were trying to extend the day as much as possible, but it's going to be longer than, you know, than even that extra long, you know, sort of additional time that she used to stay. And she had in the past complained that sometimes it's a little long, and so I'm just, you know, all of the tips, you know, we've been using all of those things, and I'm going to, you know, bump up all those things, but just, you know, anything else just to, you know, help her to exercise, and maybe it'll just take time to exercise that muscle of staying, you know, staying the longer day and everything, but, you know, any other comments you have on that, you know, just kind of gearing up for that longer school day and everything. Thank you.
You wanna say something, Heidi?
What? Remind me how old your child is that's starting the
longer day? So she'll be turning six next month. So, you know, right when school starts, she'll be turning six.
Right. Okay. Well, all the tools that we've been talking about are certainly going to help. If it makes you feel any better, my son just finished half day kindergarten and yesterday went to first grade. And he was really nervous about it being longer.
Yeah.
He feels comfortable with the teacher. He feels comfortable with the kids mostly. But he said, Mama, it's just so long and I'm going to have to eat my lunch there. And, you know, so that was a big issue for him.
Mm-hmm.
I just ramped up the special time. I acknowledged his feelings. I said, yes, it's going to be different. You're going to be eating lunch at school instead of coming home. And let's practice. And, you know, just little things like that. And actually yesterday was his first day, and it was a half day. He got out at 12:50. And when he came home, I said, so what was the hardest thing about school? And he said, the time. And I said, what about the time? He said, it's too short.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that something?
And I was like, hallelujah. Like, today is his first full day. And I don't know how exactly that's going to go. But he was going in optimistic because we had been kind of working on that theme all summer. You know, just through play, through special time, just acknowledging, like, yes, it is going to be longer. Yes, it is hard. Yes, you are going to be farther from Mama. But here I am now, and I'm pouring all my love onto you. And, you know, I'll always be here when you get home. And I actually, what kind of did help is I said, the night before he started, I said, I'm going to be here when you get home, and we're going to do special time every day after school, and we're going to play, 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 and just pour all that love back in. And he was just like, oh, big exhale. And then yesterday when he got home from school, he was like, okay, when's special time? He was so looking forward to it. So even just having that special time to look forward to after a long day, just knowing that they're going to come home and be welcomed by you and you're going to give that gift of special time to them can really, you know, make it not seem so gruelingly long.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And the other kind of benefit of a longer day is I'll be able to get all my work done when she's away. And so I'm kind of telling her also, you know, when you get home, it's, you know, it's time for the two of us to play and I won't have to go up and work. And, you know, so I'm
absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. And you'll be juiced up and ready to play.
Yes, definitely.
Both my girls had a big, big issue around this. I remember the first couple of weeks were a little rough because they were tired. After the long day. But then I would do the separation games, in which I would tell them how much I missed them and how my day was so long without them. Just as Heidi was saying, I would acknowledge, yeah, it is hard. It is long. You're right. It is long. So
yeah,
as long as he feels that you are on her side, I think.
Right.
She can do this, and you can do it too. And again, listening time, as you were saying, listening time for you.
Yes,
because it's gonna be hard on us. Yeah,
definitely. Thank you so much for all of your great ideas.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks everybody for being here. We're reaching the end of our hour, so let's just wrap it up. So our conclusion here, Hand in Hand offers a number of resources. Many of them are free, like this teleseminar. There's lots of articles, podcasts. You can join a Yahoo discussion group. There's a Facebook support group that's awesome. So you can go to handinhandparenting.org and find all these wonderful resources. Also, if you want to go on the website and search special time, articles will pop up to help you with special time. Play listening, and you'll have articles pop up. There's lots of articles there. We offer self-guided classes on helping children with aggression, helping children sleep, and separation anxiety among them. So those parents that have lots of separation anxiety children, there is a self-guided class that you can purchase. We also offer instructor-led 6-week-long starter classes, which are a wonderful introduction to hand-in-hand parenting. There are online classes that you can do, and there's in-person classes that you can do. We both have local classes starting soon. For those that are near me, this is Heidi, and I'm in Sonoma County, California. I live in Petaluma. I have a 6-week starter class starting here in Petaluma September 25th, and that's going to run on Monday nights for 6 weeks. And it's a great introduction to all the five listening tools and then how to use them. And I'm also offering a workshop called Understanding Tantrums on Saturday, September 16th from 10 to 12 a.m. at the Luma Center here in Petaluma. And I am starting a parent support group on Tuesday mornings in Petaluma. So if you're interested in any of these local offerings, you can contact me at Heidi, H-E-I-D-I, at handinhandparenting.org, and I'd be happy to let you know more about those. Mari Lupe, what do you have going on in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, so I'm here in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and if you're local to me, we start Thursday. We have a 6-week starter class starting, and it's a small group. I would love to mention that, so you get like really personalized attention and a really cozy atmosphere. So we're gonna start on Thursday, September 7th, and we're going to run for 6 weeks, and it's going to be in the mornings from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. For those of you who just dropped the kid off in school, then you can come to the class. And we're going to meet at the Spirit of Yoga here in Westchester. But for those of you who are not local to us, we have an amazing discount for this same starter class that you can take online. And this version of the starter class
includes a weekly support group call with a certified instructor like Heidi and myself. So because you were here today with us, you can get $100 off as you purchase the class, the 6-week starter class, when you use a code on the checkout, and the code is 2017 support, like one word, 2017 support. When you add that code, you're going to get $100 off of this class. So don't miss on this opportunity. If you feel like you want to register for my local classes or contact me for any reason, here's my email address. This is the best way to register or contact me. Marilupe, that is Marilupe, at handinhandparenting.org. And there's more exciting news for those local to Pennsylvania. Patty Whitfler, who's the Hand in Hand founder, will be here in Philly and Westchester in early October. So I will be posting all the event details on my Facebook page for those of you who are on Facebook. And if you don't or are not on Facebook, like, email me if you want to know about them. So my page is Parenting by Connection with Marilupe. And this promised to be, like, really, really exciting. So I can't wait. Do you want to tell them about the audiobook, Heidi?
Yes. So Patty Whitfler and her co-author, Tasha Shore, wrote the book called Listen last year. It came out. It's really wonderful. And if you don't have the book already, or if you do and you are interested in an audiobook, it's about to be released. The official release date is August 28th, but some sites will have it available before then, so keep an eye out for it. The book is filled with how to use the tools, and it's filled with anecdotes about how people are using the tools, like the ones that we shared today. So thank you all so much for being here with us today. Thank you for listening to the recording. Your presence speaks so much about your commitment to your children and to being the best parent you can be. And we love and support you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Heidi, for being with me. And thank you for all the beautiful audience that we had today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Goodbye.
Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.